This is the CSIS Global Health Interview Series at www.smartglobalhealth.org.
Good afternoon. My name is Katrin Bowe, and I'm a research assistant with the Center for Global Health Policy at CSIS, the Center for Strategic and International Studies. We're joined today with Dr. Heis Walraven, the Director of Community Health and the Delegation of the Aga Khan Development Network. Dr. Walraven serves as the head of the Aga Khan Health Services, which provides private, not-for-profit primary health care and curative medical care in Afghanistan, India, Kenya, Pakistan, and Tanzania, and technical assistance in health service delivery to the governments of Kenya, Syria, and Tajikistan. Dr. Walraven is also a visiting professor of community health sciences at the Aga Khan University in Karachi, Pakistan. He is also the author of Health and Poverty, Global Health Problems and Solutions, which was published by EarthScan in 2010. Thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome.
I'd like to start this interview by asking you to discuss the major health challenges that are present in South and Central Asia. How would you compare these health challenges to those that are found in countries of similar economic status?
South and Central Asia is an enormous region in the first place, and there are enormous differences between countries and within different regions. Clearly, if you talk about the burden of disease, obviously sub-Saharan Africa is often quoted as having the major problems when it comes to infectious diseases, if it comes to maternal and child health issues, newborn maternal child health, even nowadays adolescent health. But when it comes to Central and South Asia, those issues are still there, and the indicators are still relatively poor. But in addition to that, and probably more so than in sub-Saharan Africa, there is, in a number of situations, what is called the double burden of disease. So in addition to what I previously mentioned, also increasingly the problem of chronic non-communicable diseases, the issues around injuries, and problems which are related to the environment as well.
Now, the Aga Khan Health Services, of which you are the head, dedicates its efforts largely to strengthening health systems in the areas where it works. Can you discuss this approach and explain the rationale behind it?
Yes, it stems back from a long time ago. In 1978, there was a conference in what was then, what is now Kazakhstan, in Alma-Ata. And in Alma-Ata, there was an agreement reached by representatives of 134 governments about the principles of primary health care and reaching health for all, a very ambitious goal at that time, which we haven't achieved, but which was never the idea. It was never to be taken literally, health for all, because obviously that's something which can't be achieved. But the principles of comprehensive primary health care, which is based on access, equity, intersectoral collaboration, and an irrational allocation of resources still makes sense. And we would like to work around and continue to work around the principles of primary health care. Unfortunately, primary health care was misunderstood. It was equated with being poor health care for poor people. It was equated with only paying attention to the first level of health care. What I would argue and what we are trying to do is to truly pay attention to health systems, so the continuum of care, which pays attention, again, to access, pays attention to quality, which makes use of the resources at the right level and tries to be innovative and creative and appropriate if it comes to technology. A lot of agencies work, you could say, more selective. So they try to address a certain issue, let's say malaria, tuberculosis, HIV, AIDS. But to address these issues, if you don't have these comprehensive approaches, you end up with not addressing really the bigger issues, and you will also probably not allocate the resources in the right manner. I'll give you an example. If today there is a tuberculosis program, and the tuberculosis program drives in with its Land Rover to address and to screen people for TB or to deliver the medication, and tomorrow another team will come in for immunization, that really doesn't make sense. You need to coordinate it. You need to make it sense. The other aspect of it is what the Aga Khan Development Network tries to do is that it works and it enters in a certain geographical area. And in that geographical area, we will try to do a number of interventions, not only health, but also, for instance, education or the improvement of livelihoods, strengthening civil society, providing for microcredit. So a number of interventions which will truly improve the quality of life. And to make use of those different interventions and to coordinate it and make certain that that is based and has a platform within the community and has community participation is of great importance to us to make the interventions sustainable.
The Aga Khan Development Network works in several areas in South and Central Asia that struggle with significant security and stability challenges, such as Afghanistan and Pakistan. Through your experiences in these regions, how do you see the relationship between health and security? In what ways do you see health contributing to security? And on the flip side, how do you view security to perhaps be a precursor to achieving quality health services?
Our experience, I would say, is that you need a level of security before you can achieve the things you want to do in health. So you need to have a basic level of security if you want to have your health workers to be safe, to be able to transport the equipment and the consumables which you need for your health interventions, to be able to train your people and to engage at the community level. However, we have had also indeed incidences and things in areas where indeed things were insecure. And one of the things we have learned in those insecure areas is that it is important then to, even more important then, to embed your interventions within the community. And I'll give you an example. We have been working for several years in a province in northern Afghanistan called Baghlan. And within Baghlan, more recently, there are two districts which have become more insecure. There's a sort of return of the Taliban. And something like a year ago, we had to withdraw the healthcare providers, which were not from the local area, because they were threatened and they had to move out. More recently, we have to be enabled to reinstall the health services while the security situation still has its issues. But we have been able to do that because over the time we have been training healthcare providers as well. And in this case, we have been training midwives, community midwives, which were selected by their own community and were allowed by their parents and relatives to be trained in a school in the provincial capital. And they have now graduated and have been able to go back to their own communities. And that seemed to have been acceptable. So there are circumstances where you can engage and make certain that things happen which are still useful in relation to healthcare provision. However, it doesn't remain an ideal situation. I still believe, and looking at the areas where we have been working for many, many years, and we really go back decades, in both Pakistan and Afghanistan, that a certain level of security is a precondition for development.
I understand that a component of the Aga Khan Development Network's approach to strengthening health systems is improving a human resource capacity in the areas it works. Would you elaborate on the need to better train those who are involved in delivering health services and the approach that the Aga Khan Development Network takes?
When it comes to the Aga Khan Development Network, as we see health systems have a number of building blocks. It's not only health service delivery. It's certainly also the building of HR capacity and also about research so that you have and research in agreement with the burden of disease in the local population so that you come up with the solutions which are relevant to the context in which you work. When it comes to HR capacity, there is an interesting development. In the earliest 20th century, the training of health professionals went for, at that time, research, evidence-based education for the first time. We're talking about the earliest 20th century after a man called Fletcher. In the middle 20th century, another document which influenced policy was around the training related to problem-oriented issues. So we moved to a different way of educating. More recently, and in fact in December 2010, a report was published by Julio Frank, the current dean of Harvard, Lincoln Chen, And one of the people who works with the Aga Khan University, Zulfi Gabuta, and a number of other authors, which really made the case of moving towards a new way of educating, and educating much more in what is relevant for health systems. And health systems which obviously make use of global knowledge, but are also very context-specific, and tries to break away with the silos in which we train nurses or we train doctors. We can do a lot of joint learning and making sure that we train the health providers which are relevant for that context. The Aga Khan Development Network works in a number of areas in the world, in East Africa, in Central Asia, and South Asia. But if we look at Central Asia, we work in an area which is a high mountainous area, with a relatively sparsely populated, which means that you need to come to a system where people are trained differently and where they can really fulfill their task and need to have a number of skills which are different, let's say, from an urban setting. And to adapt your training is one of the things we are working on with the Aga Khan University.
Well, thank you again, Dr. Walraven, for joining us this afternoon. We're grateful for your presentation today, March 29th, on strengthening health systems in Central and South Asia. The audio recording of that event is available on our website, smartglobalhealth.org. I'd like to thank you very much for your time.